Corinthians chapter 2 tonight. Nobody has anything else on their heart. Corinthians chapter 2. And when you find your place at 1 Corinthians 2, if you're physically able to stand and would like to, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the precious Word of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And begin reading with me in verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 14. He says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." And we're looking in these verses. We looked, I think it would have been Wednesday night. We were in verse number 14. And I think that's as far as we got, looking at the natural man. And we're dealing with the map to maturity here and the categories, the way God categorizes people. And verse number 14 deals with the natural man. And tonight, I want to look at the next couple verses, and I want us to look tonight at the spiritual man. And so as we look at the map to maturity, let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you for your word and for the blessing of having a Bible tonight. Lord, I thank you for the blessing it is to be in church. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have been good in our lives. Lord, those of us that are saved and have served you, Lord, we know that it is good to serve the living God, and you have blessed us and been good to us and taken care of us and met our needs. And Lord, your grace has always been sufficient for every need we've ever had. And we have no reason to doubt you now. Lord, if you've taken care of us and got us this far, Lord, we'll know that you'll see us on home. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to trust you in these days. Help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth tonight. Father, I pray that you'd help me as I try to preach your word, that, Lord, you'd help me and, Lord, allow me, permit me to preach. Give us that special touch that makes preaching. And I pray that it would be received with meekness and gladness. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And I pray for that lost soul that may be among us tonight, Father, that today would be today the day of salvation. They'd repent and believe the gospel, be born again. Lord, I just pray that you would have your perfect will and way in our service and our hearts and lives tonight. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, just kind of to get us up to speed, Sunday or Wednesday night, we were looking at the natural man in verse number 14. And just to kind of remind you, you know, we talked about this Wednesday night, but if you remember, you know, we talked about how human nature, and anytime we hear human nature, we need to think fallen nature. Human nature has the tendency to categorize people, put people into different classes and categories, and divide people up. And we do it, you know, by economics and career and social status and just various different things. But the Bible and God, who wrote the Bible, also categorizes men as well. God and the Word of God does it very differently from the way man does it. But God, at least in this instance, and in 1 John, where we've been preaching too, categorizes people, puts people into three different categories. Now, we've seen the natural, that is the first one. Tonight, we're going to look at the second one, and that is the spiritual. And so, everyone here is going to fall into one of these three categories.
And so you could possibly be the natural man. He says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. It is not only physical, but it is a spiritual impossibility for natural man by himself without God to understand and receive spiritual things. Man by himself cannot know the truth, understand the truth, or receive the truth. The Spirit of God has got to help him. Amen? Now, I believe this. I believe just what the Bible said, that grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all man. Amen? Listen, God doesn't pick and choose. Listen, salvation's available for everybody. And so the grace that it requires to bring about salvation, listen, it's available to everybody. Man is born with an inherent knowledge of God. But if he rejects that truth and rejects that life, that light long enough, God will remove that light from him. And then it will be an impossibility for him to ever know the God of the Bible. You can read about that in Romans chapter 1. Amen? And so, but man, natural man by himself, has got to have the help of God. He's got to have a degree of light and grace offered to him to be able to understand the things of God. And what he must do is respond to that light and obey that light and embrace that light. And if man, if lost man will embrace the light and receive the light God has given him, God will see it to it that he gets more light. Amen? God will see to it that he receives more truth. And as he continues to obey the truth, God will see to it that he gets truth. Amen? No one's ever sought God that didn't find him. Amen? God's made himself available to humanity. And so, again, everyone here falls into one of those, either you're a natural man, or tonight, you could be spiritual man. And that's what we're going to look at. Now, the purpose of the Bible, again, is for God to reveal himself to fallen man to restore fellowship between man and God. That's what happened in the garden when Eve and Adam partook of that forbidden fruit and disobeyed God. Spiritually, man was cut off from God. The fellowship was broken. The connection was broken. Jesus came, died as a human sacrifice, a perfect human sacrifice, as the Son of God, for you to restore fellowship between us and God. Therefore, through our faith in Him, we can have our fellowship and the relationship restored with God. And that's what the Bible is for. It's for God to reveal Himself to man that He might restore fellowship in man. And in the Bible, we find two desires that God has. God desires, number one, that men come to know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? As a matter of fact, that's the whole reason John tells us he wrote his gospel. I just read this afternoon in John chapter 20 and verse, let me find the verse again, John chapter 20 and verse number 30. Right at the end of the gospel of John, John writes and says in verse 30 of chapter 20, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In other words, this isn't everything that God could have told us, but everything God wanted to tell us. He did much more than is what he was here. Amen? But verse 31 says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. And so God gave us a Bible that men might believe on the name of Jesus and have life through His name. Amen. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is the will of God that men be saved by the grace of God. Amen. You cannot find 1 ounce of the character of God in Calvinism. You cannot find it. It's not there where God picks and chooses. Listen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And that's the desire of God. So that's the first. The second one we find is that after men are saved, God desires that Christians, believers, grow up, progress in their Christian life, in their relationship, in their walk with Him, into mature Christians. Now, if you remember, maturity, Christian spiritual maturity, boiled down to one word, what is that word? Christ-like. Spiritual maturity. There's been books and volumes written on spiritual maturity. But if you boil it down to one word, it's the simple word, Christ-like. The more mature you get as a Christian, the more you and I progress as believers and grow in the Lord, the more we let patience have her perfect work and all those things He talked about in James chapter 1, the more and more that happens, the more we are molded by God, the more Christ-like we are becoming. If you're maturing as a Christian, you're looking more like Jesus. Listen, you may not necessarily, a preacher may be maturing spiritually, and that doesn't necessarily mean he'll be a more dynamic preacher. Listen, you may mature spiritually, and that doesn't necessarily mean you'll get more gifted in some area or better, in some thing. But it does mean you'll be more like Jesus. Listen, that is true maturity and the true spiritual work is becoming like Jesus. That's why I don't believe for a second whenever people talk about having these great revivals and all these people saved and all these things happening and they say God is moving. But then whenever the preacher leaves town, the revival dies and all the people that got saved, you couldn't find them with a search warrant and Homeland Security. Amen? Listen, if people are getting saved and God is moving and real revival is happening, you're going to see Jesus in it. People are going to be looking more like Jesus than they did before. Amen. Not more like the world and not much, more of the same. Maturity and spiritual work makes us like Christ. He is conforming us into the image of His dear Son. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? And so those are God's desires. Now, sadly, not everyone is saved. And not everyone will be saved. As a matter of fact, very few will be. Amen? There will be a greater majority of people that will die lost without God and go to a devil's hell than what will wind up in heaven. You know what the Bible says about hell? The Bible says that hell hath enlarged herself. More people are going than God ever intended to go. That's right. And so many have gone that hell has had to enlarge itself because so many are going. But I heard an interesting study a while back. I heard this weirdo talking about how with the dimensions of heaven, that new heaven, the dimensions of that city, he was saying that God's going to have to shrink us all down and make us smaller so everybody can fit. And then I heard Brother Tim Green talk about, he was preaching a message and talking about the measurements of that new heaven, that new earth, and that city that will come down, And he took all those measurements and he found out that there is enough room in that city for every man and every woman that has ever born and lived on this earth. There is enough room to have them all fit and live wonderfully and live comfortably inside that city. In other words, God prepared. He prepared for everybody. Amen? He prepared for everybody. He made enough room for everybody. You look at the ark, God gives dimensions for every part of the ark except for the door. Amen? There is no measurement to the door. Amen? Listen, it is enough for everybody. But hell hath enlarged herself. And so he said, few there be that find it. God's will is that men are saved, but a lot of them aren't going to be saved. And God's will is that those that get saved will progress and grow and mature, become more like Him. And sadly, not everybody does. Not everybody does. And none of us are at the rate we should be. Right? None of us are what we should be. None of us are where we ought to be. Listen, if you're 8 or 80 here tonight, this message is for you. Maturity is for you. You need to be growing and you need to be becoming more like Jesus than you were yesterday. Amen? Now the Bible offers a plan for growth and you must know where you are now so that you can move forward. You got to see your need. Now this message is to help you see, or these messages are, and I believe this writing here is here to help you see and me see where we are and what of these biblical categories we fit into that we might grow from there. You got to see where you are first. And so if you're a natural man, we dealt with that, Wednesday night. The natural man, what the natural man needs is to be saved. The natural man lives naturally. He's depraved. He is directed. He didn't have control over his life. Amen? He's in darkness. He is doomed. He is dead. Listen, the natural man is lost without God and needs something to make a drastic change in his life. Amen? But tonight we're looking at the spiritual man. Verse 15 and verse 16. We're going to close out chapter 2 tonight and look at the spiritual man. Now, if the natural man lives naturally, and he does, don't be upset at sinners for living the way they live. They're living the way it comes natural for them to live. I mean, listen, I'm not surprised that in these days of apostasy and in this great falling away, in these days of deception in the last days for the Lord, I'm not surprised that so many churches are turning out church tonight to have Super Bowl parties. I'm not surprised at that. Because deception is a hallmark of the last days. And there's more people that think they're saved and going to heaven now that are not going than ever has been before. Amen. And just like we dealt with this morning, with the affections. Listen, what your affections are for, what you thirst after and desire, that reveals where your heart is. The problem with people is their heart is simply in the world. And so therefore, that's the way they go. Right? And so, the natural man lives naturally. That's what's in his heart to live. I didn't want to be in church before I got saved. I didn't want to be around. I sure didn't want to be around preachers. They made me so uncomfortable, you know. And a lot of God's people, at least the spiritual people, they made me uncomfortable too. Now the carnal church people, I get along good with them, you know. The lost church people and the carnal church people, I get along good with them, you know. And we could hang out outside of church, but the spiritual ones and the preachers and all things, you know, in the work of God, I did not like that stuff. The difference is when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside and the love of God shed abroad in your heart and you start walking in the light as He is in the light. And so He changes your want to. He changes your desires. He changes the things you want. You still battle the old Adamic man. Amen? But praise God, we're anchored in Jesus. I've got something to keep me from going back. Amen? I try to pull myself up by my bootstraps every Monday for 19 years. Because I'd go to church and sit under hellfire and brimstone preaching and knew I was lost and knew I needed something. And as far as I was concerned, I was going to do right that week. But I'd go back every time because I didn't have the Spirit of God to give me victory. Isn't that right? And that's the natural man. Listen, the dog always returns to its vomit. Why? Because it's his nature. It's the way a dog is. A sow will always return to wallowing in the mire. You can wash that old pig up and put lipstick on her and spray her with perfume, but the second she gets out from under your thumb, she's going back to the mud hole. And that's the way old sinners are too. Isn't that right? You can dress them up in a suit and tie and fix their hair and teach them the hymns and have them memorize verses, but if something spiritual isn't done in their heart, they're going back to the mud hole every time. Because that is natural man. But then he talks about the spiritual man in verse 15 and 16. Now, in contrast to the men who reject divine truth, there are men who accept divine truth. As a matter of fact, the very first word of verse 15 tells us that. He says, but. He's just got through describing the natural man. The natural man doesn't receive the things of God, doesn't understand. In fact, he says it is foolishness unto him. He may admire some things about church and may have an appreciation for preachers and spiritual things, but or religious things. But at the end of the day, true spiritual things are really foolishness to him. Amen. And then verse 15, he says, but. So in other words, he's going to give us the other side. This is the other side of it. This is the contrast. And we see a few things in these verses. I want to give them to you and we'll be done tonight regarding the spiritual man. And the first thing he deals with about the spiritual man is his devotion. His devotion. It says, but he that is spiritual. He is spiritual. He is a spiritual person. Now you are in one of these three categories. You're either natural or you're spiritual or you're what we're going to deal with later. You're carnal. But right here he's talking about spiritual. That is, he is spiritually minded. He's not only saved and indwelt by the Spirit of God, but he's devoted. His affections, like we dealt with this morning, are in the right place. He's committed to the right things and has his heart right with God. He is interested in heavenly matters and his affections are on things above, not on things of the earth. He is a spiritual person. And I think that there are saved people that are not, you know, extremely spiritual. I mean, we find that from this text. I mean, you see it right here in the text. He's going to deal with that in chapter 3, and that'll be the next message. But, listen, this category is the person that's not just saved, but they are spiritually minded. They are sold out. They are committed to God. You know, a lot of people call themselves Christians that are just simply not interested in spiritual matters. They show it by being in stadiums instead of a sanctuary on Sunday. Amen? And it's a problem with affections. They have their affections on things of the world. And so the first mark of a spiritual man is devotion. He is devoted. Are you as devoted as you ought to be? I don't know that any of us could really truly say that we are as devoted as we ought to be. But the spiritual man is a devoted man. Now, the second mark that we see here is not just his devotion, but he talks about his discernment. Look in the verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. But then look down in verse number 16. The very last phrase of verse 16, he says, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, those phrases, those words there speak of the ability of a spiritual person to assess spiritual matters, to understand and to discern spiritual things. Now, thinking about the meaning of that word judgeth, that's what he says in verse 15. He is spiritual. Judgeth all things. Now, that's the same exact word used for discerned in verse 14. You get your Strong's Concordance and you'll see that. It's the same word. And it's used several times in the Bible. And it means to examine. It means to look into. It means to discern. To be able to tell the difference and see the truth in it. And so one man said the word means to discern the meaning of divine truth and to appreciate and give it due respect. That's one of the marks of a spiritual man. He is discerning. But when you find out the meaning of the word, what about the matters that are being judged here? He says he judgeth all things. Now, within the context here, he's talking about spiritual revelation. Talking about a saved person, a saved and spiritual person is able to discern spiritual matters. The truths of the Word of God and spiritual things. See, spiritual men can discern spiritual truths in the Scripture. And that's the reality, because the natural man receiveth not these things. Their spirits are discerned. If it doesn't mean anything to them, it's a good sign they don't have the Father. They're missing something in their life. But the saved person, it means something to them. It matters to them. There's a difference there. He can judge and discern all things. And so he's particularly talking about spiritual things, but I'll tell you what I think. I think whenever he says all things, he means all things. Not just spiritual things, but I believe God will give good spiritual insight into all things. In other words, God will give good sense and good wisdom in all matters of life. God doesn't just make save people to make them a theologian. And by the way, God's not a thriving church and a good spiritual church, and the church that God desires isn't a church made up of a bunch of theologians. It's a church made up of people who are sold out to God, doing what God has called them to do, and God has called all of us to do something. Amen. And so maturity is not about being a theologian. It's about doing what God wants you to do and God giving you wisdom and understanding in all matters of life. Now, God does that in many ways. I mean, first of all, He does it with the Holy Spirit. We know that. When the Comforter has come, He will guide you into all truth. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, He will guide you into all truth. Matter of fact, that's what He's reproving the world of right now. Reproving the world of righteousness and judgment to come and all those things. The Holy Spirit is working in man, revealing the truth to him. But He has indwelt the saved man, and is guiding us into all truth. And that is, whenever you get saved, you simply understand things you just couldn't understand before. That seemed like that was the biggest difference in me when I got saved. For the first time in my life, I started taking my Bible to work with me and reading it outside of church, and it meant something to me. I could understand what I was reading because the Holy Spirit is helping me, and He's helping you if you're saved. And so the Spirit of God will give you wisdom and understanding and good sense in things. Again, not just in spiritual matters, but in all things. Which, by the way, all things are spiritual matters in our life. You don't do anything or make any decision that's not a spiritual decision. You realize that? And you need the will of God, and you need the mind of God in all of it. You need to honor God in all of it. And God will help you with the Spirit of God, but He also uses the Word of God. That's where we get our truth. That's where we get the mind of God. That's where we get our education and spiritual matters. With the Spirit of God and the Word of God working together to help mold us and make us into what God wants us to be. You'll never know God's mind and God's will in some things if you're not in your Bible. You can't grow and progress spiritually if you're not reading your Bible. You can't move forward with God if you're not studying the Word of God. You cannot do it. It ain't going to happen. That's one way God reveals Himself. But you know, He also uses other men too. You remember in Galatians, when we preached through Galatians, those gifts to the church, the evangelists and the pastors and teachers and those things. Listen, God uses those gifts to the church, the gifts of God-called men to help guide all of us. Listen, I'm sure you could say the same thing, but I can't count how many times where I've needed to hear from God. And I've needed a direction. I've needed some help in some area, some decision or something. And God sent me a message through a man that didn't even know what was going on in my life. But God sent a message through that man that spoke directly to my need and gave me exactly what I needed. Because God uses His men. Anytime in the Old Testament when Israel started crying out to God, asking God for mercy and asking God, you know, to help them and to, you know, all those things, He would always raise up a man and He would always give that man His message. Amen? Thank God we don't have to go to a pope or a priest or pray to, you know, some man through a knot hole. We've got a Bible, but God will also use the man of God in your life. Amen? You'll never be what God wants you to be if you're not doing what you're doing under the authority of the local church. Amen. 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 God's called the church and ordained the church and gave pastors to the church and gave men of God to the church. And listen, a lot of people are like doubting Thomas. Jesus shows up and they're not there. And He had just what they needed, but they were not there. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because it's Sunday night and you're all here. But maybe that's preventative maintenance. Listen, don't ever drop out because you're not going to find out there what you're going to find in here. Amen. This is where we get guidance for our lives. This is where we get guidance for our homes. This is where God speaks to us. This is where God will do things in our heart and help us with things that we'll never get anywhere else. Amen. And so God uses pastors and teachers. He'll use other spiritual people in your lives. God uses many things to teach you and to give you wisdom, to help you to discern all things. All things. Now, it's a shame for a church to not have people spiritual enough to judge spiritual matters and to judge all things. Because again, all things are spiritual matters. If you hear human nature and you think fallen nature, if human nature means fallen nature, then spiritual matters means all matters. Because there's nothing that we do that's not spiritual. Right? And it is a crying shame for any church to not have people outside of the pastor unable to judge spiritual matters. That's a shame. And I'm not saying that because I'm the pastor. I'm saying that because that's what Paul said. Turn over to chapter 6. Look in verse 1 of chapter 6. Look at this situation that was going on here. He says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against a brother, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?" In other words, why would you take a matter before the lost world, you know, whenever, you know, when you could take it to the saints? He says in verse 2, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" Now, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you're going to be judging the world.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes,
he says, "And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels?" You're going to just judge the world, you're going to judge angels too, if you're saved. He says, "How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." And then in verse 5, "I speak to your shame." He says, it is a shame that none of you are able to judge spiritual matters. That you are so carnally minded and so immature and such babes in Christ that you are unable to judge these little matters and sort these little matters out. One of these days you're going to judge the world, you're going to judge angels, but yet you're too immature now to judge these little things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, if you feel like you've got to have the preacher for everything, you're not grown up enough. You're not spiritual enough. I hear stories a lot of times of, you know, families at home somewhere and their child comes. I mean, they're good church, good faithful church people, but their child comes to them and they're under conviction and they want to be saved. And the first thing they do is call the preacher. Why would somebody that's been saved for 30 years got to call the preacher to lead their child to the Lord, or lead somebody to the Lord? Listen, if you don't feel confident to lead someone to the Lord and tell them how to be saved, I kind of wonder if you're saved, but you're at the very least not mature. You ain't grown enough. Amen. And so that's the issue with Corinth. Corinth, and Paul was saying, listen, you're so immature, and it's a shame that you can't even judge these little things, because the spiritual man is able to judge all things, to discern good and evil and right and wrong in all things. And so all things in the matters being judged. But then there is the master in the judging. Back in our text, verse number 16, look at what he says. He says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." See, believers have help for discernment that the world does not have. Doesn't it make you want to bang your head against the wall trying to explain spiritual things, spiritual truths, to someone who is clearly just not getting it? And they'll say, oh, I just don't see that. I just don't see that, or I just don't see it that way. Right? And I've used this example a lot, because the thing is, I believe them. When lost people say, "Well, I just can't see that," I believe they can't see it. Because you remember that crooked woman that the Lord straightened out that time? She was all bent to herself, the Bible says. You could tell her all day long the sky was blue and the trees are green. But until Jesus made a difference in her life, she could not see it. Her eyes were fixed on the world. And so she couldn't see heavenly things. Amen. And that's the natural man. That is the lost man. His eyes are fixed on the world and cannot see or discern heavenly things. But those of us that get saved, amen. If you're saved tonight, God has done something in you. The Holy Spirit has indwelt you, allowing you to see what the world does not see. Listen, isn't that how Abraham endured? Seeing Him who is invisible. Amen. The invisible things that are invisible to this present world, God allows His people to see through the eyes of faith and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So to have Christ as Savior means also to have the mind of Christ. It's just another way of saying that you can discern spiritual matters. You can think the way Jesus thinks. You can't know the mind of the Lord apart from being saved. Now, undiscerning spiritual matters is part of walking in darkness. That's part of what the Bible is talking about whenever He talks about walking in darkness versus walking in light. Because the lost world is walking in darkness, unable to see the spiritual matters all around them. I'll use this illustration before, I'll use it again. It's just like that young lad that was serving with Elijah. And that they were surrounded by those armies and all. Now he was serving. Serving the man, going through the motions, doing what he was supposed to be doing, and all those are good things. It's good to do what you know to do. But everything changed for him when he started to see what he couldn't see. Because as far as he was concerned, that army was about to overtake them and it was about to be a bad day. But whenever the man of God prayed that God would open his eyes, he saw those chariots of fire. He saw what was invisible to everybody else, what nobody else could see. And when that thing was over with, he realized there's more of us than there are of them. Amen. The victory has been won. Amen. Because there's so many more than what they have. Amen. And that's what God does when He saves your soul, is He gives you seeing, gives you understanding, gives you eyes to see and ears to hear that you did not have before. The last thing we see His devotion in these verses. We see His discernment of the spiritual man in these verses. And last of all, we see the depreciation of the spiritual man in these verses. It says in verse 15, "Yet he himself is judged of no man." See, that phrase is talking about the fact that the natural man cannot discern God's people. Now, the saved person, the spiritual man, can discern. But see, that word judgeth, again, is speaking of discernment. He is discerned of known man. The natural man cannot understand or discern the people of God. See, true believers are the greatest blessing a community or a nation could ever have. Nothing would build a stronger nation than a nation of saved people that are serving God. That'd be the greatest nation you could ever build. That being the case, now we're on this side of it, so we know that. Listen, saved people who love God and are serving God, they're not going to be stealing. They're not going to be killing. They're not going to be raping. They're not going to be, you know, breaking into stores and looting businesses. And I mean, you're not going to see all this chaos that you see out there if it's full of saved people. Lost people do that. Amen. Listen, saved people aren't going to cheat their businesses, cheat their employer. They're not going to commit fraud. The lost people do that stuff. And so that being the perspective, listen, it'd be a blessing to have a nation full of saved people, to have a society full of saved people, to have a community full of saved people. Listen, lost people don't drink and drive and kill people as a drunk driver. So that stuff won't happen. Saved people don't do that stuff. Right? God's people are the greatest blessing a community or a nation could ever have. But because God's people are judged by no man, because the natural man, because he himself is judged of no man, discerned of no man. Talking about the natural man, you'd think that even the lost world would want saved people around, but they don't. As great of a blessing as God's people are to a nation and a community, you'd think, man, this is the kind of people we want. Yeah, bring them in. Instead, they're bringing in all the hoodlums from all around the world. That's right. Voting in alcohol in city limits and all that stuff. Now, you'd think they'd want God's people. You'd think the nation would want God's people. You'd think the nation would be promoting the church and God's people and preachers and men of God. Instead, they're promoting the LGBTQ community. And that's the wickedest bunch of devils you'll ever know. Them people are capable of anything. Amen. God's quit most of them, and they have no moral compass anymore. And that's the crowd that's being promoted in our nation. You'd think it'd be the opposite. But I tell you the problem. He himself is judged of no man. The world does not discern or understand God's people. You'd think they'd want them around. You'd think they want them, you know, be rubbing shoulders at the job with saved people and Christian people. But instead, that light brings conviction in their life, and they don't want them. See, the reason is the natural man can't discern the value of spiritual things. You'd think they'd see what Laban saw in Jacob in Genesis chapter 30. I remember whenever Jacob worked all those years for Laban, tricked him one time, gave him the wrong girl, and he worked a bunch more years, gave him, and all them years he worked, and he changed his wages so many times, and he cheated him, and never did him right, and all those things. But listen, whenever Jacob finally made up his mind, I'm leaving here. In verse 27 of chapter 30, it says, and Laban said unto him, I pray thee, I beg you. He said, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And listen, that is the church in this present world. The Lord is staying His hand of wrath on this world for the church's sake. Amen? And for Christians' sake. And listen, it's the prayers of God's people and the witness and testimony of God's people that's holding this thing together right now. Amen? And you'd think the world would welcome that, but they don't. Because He Himself is judged of no man. And so, we have the devotion of spiritual men. The discernment. Listen, is your devotion what it ought to be? Is your discernment what it ought to be? Is your depreciation what it ought to be? You say, what are you talking about? I mean, what do you mean? Well, Jesus said, they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And the point is this. If you can go along and get along with this world just fine, and this world doesn't have any problem with you, and the spirit that's within you, there's something bad wrong. Either you're missing spiritually what you think you really have, or you're very, very, very immature and you need to grow. Amen? Where are you spiritually? Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you for your word, for helping us with it. And thank you, Lord, for revealing more of yourself. And I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to evaluate ourselves. Lord, we all are not what we ought to be and where we should be. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to be very honest with you and honest with ourselves. And Lord, to do business with you, God, that we might grow and progress. Lord, show us, Lord, the areas of our life, Lord, where we're not spiritual. We're not spiritual enough and our affections are not right. Show us the things we need out of our life and the things we need to add to our life. And then help us, Lord, by your grace, to repent and to do right, do your will and what you'd have us to do, Lord, that we might be used of you in a great way. Lord, bless an eye on the altar call and help us to respond in a way that be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.